Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a content creator followed by millions sharing the secrets behind her pickle brine that is old enough to drive. She is a beloved food influencer, chef, and cookbook author, and also known as Cooking Bomb. It's Vivian Aronson. Vivian, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing great. Nice talking with you, Jamie.
So nice to talk to you. More importantly, are you filming any content or working on recipes today, or is Food Network Obsessed your only requirement for today?
Actually, today later, I'm going to film a little more of my pickle videos.
Oh, okay. Well, loving your pickle videos, and we're definitely going to get a little bit more into that later, and we're going to talk all about your creative process, but I want to take it all the way back to really understand how you got here. Before immigrating to the US, you grew up in Chengdu, China until age 27. What are your memories of the time there and your very first introductions to food?
I grew up with my grandparents. So a lot of my cooking food is really inspired by my grandma. I helped her in the kitchen since I was very young. And I had a little step stool because so short. and the stove was tall, and with the wok, even taller. So at that time, it wasn't like options you can go out all the time. It wasn't not restaurants back in China. So we eat home every meal, three meals a day.
What were some of your grandmother's signature recipes?
One of the recipes, actually, is my cookbook. One of my favorites that she always cooked for me is the meatball dish, meatballs. It's called lion's head. It's a huge meatball. That's why it's like a lion's head. It's big.
What all is in this meatball?
In the meatball, it's all being chopped. Actually, the special thing in the meatball is that the chopped, called English, you call water chestnuts. Yeah, water chestnuts are chopped. So it gives the texture really tender texture. Yeah.
What sort of skills and techniques did you learn from her during this time when you're, you know, sitting on the step stool and just like watching everything that she's doing?
Yeah. So watching, you know, we never had a measuring spoons or anything. I learned how to measure with my Chinese eyeballs. Like her. we didn't have an oven. So in the Chinese cooking, we use a mostly just wok, you know, the pots cook on the stove cooking. So I learned a lot of skills like how to cook in the wok, the high heat, and a lot of cooking just in a pot, steaming or boiling or stew or steam buns. Yeah, we make a lot at home.
So talk to me about when you eventually came to the United States at age 27. What was that, I guess, experience like for you? How much of a culture shock and obviously language learning did you have to do?
Yeah, first is a language learning. I probably speak very basic English that time. I was even afraid to order food in a restaurant. I remember the first year. I always say, where the waitress come over? Say blah, blah, blah. I say, what's she talking about? I go, my name? Because in China, nobody come over. Hi, my name is, Vivian. Uh-huh. I'm your server or something. Then they say so many specials today. I don't know what they're talking about. So my husband always had the order for me. Then I took some like a freshman English speech class. Mm-hmm. Even I'm much older than the older kids in school. And I think that helped, but mostly helped me was I was watching a TV show at home. That time was called, it's a very popular show, The Desperate Housewives.
Yes, I remember.
Remember that, 2005. But probably took me 3 hours to watch 40-minute show because I have to write down all the words I don't understand. I pause, look at the subtitles and write it down. Have a little, my little notebook. So I look over, oh, here's the new words I learned today from Desperate Housewives. Hope I learned some good words.
Yeah, I'm sure that there were some interesting words that you probably learned that you did not learn in English class.
Yeah.
Why Desperate Housewives? Is it just because it was so popular at the time, you figured that would be a good way to kind of learn some of the English slang and that kind of thing?
Because that time on TV, first, my husband loved to watch news. I tell news, I don't understand what the news, even faster. And I find so fast, they talk so fast. You know? So I thought, I want some conversational. I want to talk to people. So I thought, that's Housewives, but I watch them, they don't talk so fast and they actually have a conversation in people's houses. Yeah, but the whole thing is very new to me. So I said, I watch that show, seems easier than the news.
What about like cooking shows? Did you watch any of those just to learn names for ingredients or cooking utensils and that kind of thing?
The cooking show, actually, after a year or two living here, I start watching more TV because I can understand more. Mm-hmm. Food Network, of course, I was watching.
Of course.
I like to watch some high energy show like a Bobby Flay Throwdown. I thought it was interesting. I watched that a lot.
Yeah. That was a good one for sure. And now you have four children of your own, your circus, as you lovingly call them. How do you keep your kids involved and curious in the kitchen?
Since they always are around me in the kitchen, I can't avoid them. So I can't just say, go away. So they always run there. So when I'm cooking, I always show them the ingredients. A lot of ingredients they won't be able to see on TV because on TV it's a lot of Western cooking, American cooking, or other Italian cooking. For example, like a whole fish. Mm-hmm. I moved here from China. The first place I live is in Minnesota. So in Minnesota, people, when I cook whole fish, I have some neighbors, so I invite them to come over sometime. I was shocked that people say, I've never seen a whole fish on the table. So I find, really? Whole fish? I eat all the time. So that's something I show my kids. I say how I prepare the whole fish. They touch the fish. They learn how to make it. I always let them to touch the food and look at the food, something different, some different ingredients. Or if I make a dough, they feel how the dough feeling. So I think that got their curiosity. They want to help me more, find the things very interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. It's very wholesome and it's so fun to see, you know, them popping their little faces, you know, in the camera when you're trying to film and that kind of thing. But I'm sure that, you know, getting their feedback is very honest and you have, you know, amassed this following across all of your different social media platforms, including 2.6 million on TikTok. What compelled you to post that first video? And do you remember what it was?
I don't remember exactly, but I think that was just film on my phone. I was just cooking, just like my everyday cooking. I said, what if I just make a video about what I cook for my kids, my family? So I was filming something. I was chopping and I was doing a steaming. I think it was a steamed ribs or meat dish. Yeah, it's a traditional Sichuan dish I was making. Yeah.
How does your style kind of evolve since those first videos that you put up there on TikTok?
I think the style involved is more probably the talking or the editing style change. So I wouldn't just talk something, drag it too long. I want to fast because a 1 minute video, you're going to be fast. I want to do the recipe. So it's hard to do it in a minute. So I try to be fast. I also give people a recipe they can actually follow. Sometimes I talk so long in the beginning, then the minute is done, you know, I can even do a recipe, try to be a little fast on my style so I can give the whole recipe.
Yeah. What's the story behind your handle, Cooking Bomb?
First, I started this, I want to do a page. So I thought cooking, of course, the cooking content. I wanted my name was associated with cooking. Also, I'm from Sichuan, China, and we eat a lot of spicy food, the chili pepper I use, and doufan is another chili bean paste I use all the time. So it's kind of like a bomb, explosion, spicy. So I said, oh, perfect. That would be my name.
What was the moment that you realized that, you know, things were starting to pick up some traction, go viral, and people were obviously loving and engaging with your content, and you had like this moment where you're like, okay, this might be, I might be onto something here.
Yeah. So for a while, probably my video just getting 100 views, 200 views. I said, oh, okay. Not great, but not bad. There's some 200 people watching me. And one day, I remember the summer I did a video that was barbecue lamb skewers. And then suddenly got a lot of views, that video. I said, oh, are people really like some traditional recipe? So I did lamb skewer, spicy lamb skewer. I was grilling on my backyard. The difference that I did is that I like to do some video effects, so that kind of. So I was preparing the lamb skewer. Then I put it. I said, okay, let me just go to the backyard through the window. So I just I just jumped through the window. I was outside. Okay, it's just, of course, like a video editing magic. Mm-hmm. People saw this was funny. And I jumped to the backyard with my tray of lamb skewer, start barbecuing. I also showed the recipe, how to make it. People find it interesting. And yeah, it was fun.
I mean, what's that feeling like to know that you are reaching so many people across the world and, you know, maybe introducing them to a cuisine that they are not super familiar with?
That's funny that when I realize that people, they always say, oh, I'm from, or they give me a comment, say, oh, thank you. I actually live in Germany. I actually got a fan mail from Germany, handwritten letter. So this girl who grew up there didn't know about Chinese culture, but she's Chinese. She was adopted by a family there. So she wrote me this letter. It's something I really feel good and help people understand the culture. She said, thank you for helping me to understand the Chinese culture. I was adopted. I never had a chance to go back. So I watch your videos. Oh, I'm so touched by what words she said. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, your videos, you know, as you've kind of mentioned, focus primarily on cooking, creating, tasting Asian recipes and snacks. How much of what you cook is familiar to you and how much of it is something maybe you are researching and trying for the first time?
I always do something new. So probably I would say 70% is something I'm familiar with. I would just film what I cook for my family every day. Another 30%, I want to do something new. It's more about Western cooking. So I do more research. For example, baking is something I learned when I moved here from China because I wasn't baking much in China. I didn't even have an oven. So I want to do some more baking, say Asian dessert. I need a baking. So I will be blending some Western technique with Asian dessert. So it's something I'm going to research on. Yeah.
And what's your process like for deciding, you know, which recipes you're going to create or display on your social media or, you know, just the kind of content that you want to create on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, actually, it's the food I'm going to cook today for my family. Because all the food I cook, they eat, my kids, my husband, they all eat the food. So I was watching the videos, the creators, they cook these fancy food. They have nobody to eat with, I guess. A lot of times say, who's eating that food? Oh, my neighbor. I gave it to my neighbor. Yeah, so my family actually eat all the food. So I will plan the content and so my family will eat it. So it wouldn't be any waste.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, have you ever made something that they all just absolutely hated?
Oh, yeah. You got right. Recently, I posted a video. I made a pig ears.
Okay.
Yeah. And my husband, my kids actually eat the most of the stuff I cook. My husband even tastes chicken feet, but he just cannot take the pig ear texture, he said.
Okay.
Yeah. And the people really hate it. Say, your husband's so unrespectful. Hate comments about him. He said, yeah, now I'm a hated man on the internet.
Oh, no. So funny. Tell him not to look at the comments.
Yes.
I mean, what's your production process like? Do you really film and edit everything on your own?
Yes. I have two cameras. I pop on the tripod. Nobody is filming me, so I always film myself and edit the videos myself.
I mean, is that something you just kind of had to teach yourself? Like, how did that whole process come about?
Actually, it's just so funny that back 2005, I moved here. I have no friends. My family's in China. My friends in China. So that time, I had a lot of free time. So I started actually making videos. But cooking video back then wasn't popular. Yeah. So there is a Chinese video platform. It's called 56.com. So okay. It's like a YouTube type. I think YouTube wasn't even started at the time. So anyway, so I just sit home. I got this video cam with you record it on a tape, this small tape. Oh, so I started making those videos about my life and some like a lip sync. I'm the one of the first one making lip sync videos back then.
So you're a trendsetter.
Yeah. So I post these fun videos, little editing effects, like a singing or life. I would travel a lot with my husband. So traveling on a Chinese platform because I didn't speak much English. So I actually got popular.
Oh, okay.
In China, I had a following there at that time. So I had an experience like making videos back then. But I stopped making videos until 2019 to 2020 and start making cooking videos again. So I have actually a little scale back then. So I pick it up and then I'm do it again.
Yeah. And now you've got all the different fancy, you know, apps and computer programs that can help make that a little bit easier.
A lot easier. And then on TikTok, you can even use just the phone with the green screen effects. Uh-huh. Back then, I had actual real green screen.
You did?
Yes.
Wow, you had quite the production setup going, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite recipe or video that you've done to date?
Favorite recipe? Yes, still my meatballs. I cook a lot for my kids too. I probably gonna make again tonight. Yeah.
How often do you make those meatballs?
Oh, at least once a week or every other week. Yeah.
And how many, you know, people out there do you think have made those meatballs now?
10,000 meatballs or more. The people always tag me in there. If I said, please just tag me if you make the dish from my videos or book. Yeah.
I mean, what's that like to see, you know, not only, you know, you get these comments or the letter that you had mentioned, but you actually get to see like photos or videos of people making the recipe that you taught them over the internet.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Nowadays with the internet, you can teach something just over, maybe the person live on the other side of the world. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
No, it's so cool. What are some of the other go-to meals around the house, aside from the meatballs that your family loves?
Noodles, uh-huh. Sichuan style noodles. I eat noodles a lot. When I grew up, probably 3 or 4 times a week, the lunch is noodles.
Wow.
So noodles is like a quick meal for me. So if something, even I think, I don't have time to cook, but I always have time to make a quick noodle dish for my kids.
That's true. Okay, let's talk about the 16-year-old pickle brine. Almost 17, I saw.
Almost 17. I'm going to make a birthday video.
I love that. What's the actual birth date of the pickle brine?
I believe it's August, but I never like write down the birthday, so I'm going to decide her birthday. It's in August. 20 the end of this month. Yeah.
I mean, how did this pickle brine come to be? I mean, it kind of reminds me of everybody's, you know, prize sourdough starters that we were hearing all about, you know, during the pandemic. But you have this pickle brine that's been going for almost 17 years now. How did it start and how do you maintain it?
When I started is even before I moved here, I said, I'm going to make pickles. That's some tradition in my home, grew up with a grandma. We always have pickle jar in the kitchen, have fresh pickles all the time. So I got a pickle jar in Chengdu in 2005 before I moved here. and it's a clay jar. I actually hold the jar, wrap it with a fabric or a scarf. I forgot. It's carry on. I didn't want to break it.
You carried it on the plane?
Yeah, I carried it on the plane with my pickle jar. Yes. Yeah.
This is obviously before, you know, the 3 ounce restrictions.
No, it's empty jar.
Oh, it's empty.
Yeah,
the jar was empty. Okay.
Yeah, empty jar. I was worried if I put in a check bag, going to break. And I just know I would not get this pickle jar somewhere in Minnesota. You know, I would not get it. Yeah, so I brought an empty jar to Minnesota. Then I said, I'm going to start this pickle brine. So I started the recipe, the jar. But the pickle brine, it only takes a long time to get the right bacteria to taste good. Probably at least 3 to 6 months. Yeah, to taste good.
And then do you have to do anything, you know, to maintain it like you do with like a sourdough starter? Or is it just because you use it so often, it just continually, like, you know, collects more flavors and that kind of thing?
You do have to take care of like a baby, to me. There's a water seal around the jar. That's how that keep the bad stuff or bacteria out of the pickle brine. So the water seal have to constantly have to watch. Oh, it's dry. If it's dry, you forgot about it, then your pickle brine will go bad. It's like you forgot to put the lid on your jar if you're doing canning food. So that's a seal. So you have to always keep an eye on if it's not dry out. So people always ask me, what do you do? You don't go on vacation? What do you do with vacation?
Yeah. What do you do?
So if it's a week vacation, 1 week, I just put a plastic wrap around the jar on the top, just cover the water part. So that usually will keep the water there for a week or 2 weeks. That's fine. I said, if you go on the longer vacation, I could go back to China for 1 month, right? And there's a little trick is I will clear out the water seal. I will pour in some vegetable oil. So the oil never dry. So kind of oil seal the jar. When I come back, I just carefully clean the oil. Because if there's one drop of oil get into the pickle blender, that will go bad. So I carefully clean the oil, wash the lid, everything. So put my water back on the seal. Yeah.
Wow. That is some dedication to this pickle brine. It's like your fifth child. Almost.
Yeah, fifth child. Yeah, so once I forgot on my vacation.
You did forget? What happened?
I forgot to cover the jar that was water seal going to dry out. I called a friend to my house, rescue the jar.
Did you have to walk your friend through it? Like, this is exactly what you need to do. Were you on FaceTime? Like, how did that work?
I just on the phone. I said, please, I forgot to add a water. Where to add a water? I said, please get a plastic wrap. Just wrap on top. And then she actually did everything for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite things to pickle?
There's a vegetable called the celtis. It's wasu in Chinese, a green vegetable. You peel the skin. That's one of my favorite vegetables to pickle. Since my pickle brine is older, that will be ready like 2 or 3 hours.
Oh,
very
wow.
Quick. Yeah. So very fresh. We call it 洗澡泡菜. 洗澡 means you take a shower so quick. So shower pickle. Shower pickle.
Shower pickle.
Yeah.
I like that. Coming up next, Vivian tells us what it was like to write her cookbook and making dessert dumplings for the Food Network digital series TikTok Challenge.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, you published your first book last year. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
The Asian Market Cookbook. And obviously, publishing a cookbook is a lot of work to begin with, but publishing one in your second language, I'm sure, is no easy feat. So I do want to recognize like how incredible that is.
Thank you.
What was the process like?
The process, I made a list about what kind of recipe I want to make. Since it's about Asian market, so there are categories, the ingredients I use each category, then under this category, for example, dry spices, I will have like 10 recipes. I use those spices and how you pick out the spices, and from the market.
What are some of your favorite recipes from the book?
I mentioned meatballs, of course.
You have
to cook some meatballs from the book. And also the fresh noodles, dandan noodles. Mm. That's one of my favorite. And dumplings. That's all the dish I make all the time.
What are some kitchen staples that everyone needs if they want to kind of dive into recreating and cooking some of your recipes?
First thing, you need the soy sauce. Mm. I mentioned in my book, a lot of people said that their food tastes a bit different. They probably use the wrong soy sauce. So I have the brand recommended in the book and what kind of soy. I like to use aged soy sauce. It just make a big difference in the cooking. Not if you use soy sauce from like you're dipping sushi in, it's totally different taste, the Japanese soy sauce for sushi. So you have to get the right soy sauce, Chinese vinegar, and cooking wine, Chinese cooking wine.
Yes.
And Sichuan peppercorn is one of my favorite dry ingredients. Have you tasted it before?
I love it. I love like the tingly feeling that you get. Yeah. My boyfriend isn't so sure. He has it, he's like, what's going on? I'm like, it's the Sichuan peppercorn.
You just have to give it to him more.
No. I know. Just like feed him more of that. No, he likes it, but he's just like, wait, what is this? What's happening? No, I love it. Well, you were also, speaking of dumplings, on an episode of the Food Network digital series TikTok Challenge, where you made some gorgeous, transparent dessert dumplings with fruit. So first of all, tell me a little bit about, kind of coming up with that recipe and what the challenge was and why you decided on dessert.
I always make dumplings with meat and spicy dipping sauce. I thought that's just, people always seen that kind of be boring. I'm making that again. Mm-hmm. I want to make a dumpling people don't think about. It's a dessert. So I thought, I'm going to make a dessert. And also it's something easy for people to find to make it. And so the filling, just fresh fruit and different color. I want to show the inside the filling. I thought maybe I make it transparent. People can actually see the filling. Your meat dumplings, you never really see the filling.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're eating,
No, I love it. They were beautiful and definitely, inviting to eat. You're like, I know what's in there. I want to try that. You mentioned that you later on, after you had moved to the United States, started watching a little bit of Food Network. Did you imagine at the start of your, journey a couple years ago that you would be able to collaborate with a brand like Food Network?
Never. In my dream, I will collaborate with the Food Network and ever. Yeah. So I would just start, just cooking at home as a mom, cook for my kids. Never saw my food people will love so much.
No, it's amazing. What are some of your favorite Food Network shows?
Oh, I said that the Bobby Flay Throwdown, I watch a lot, and the Chopped.
Yes. A classic.
The classic. I always want to say, who made it to the end? That's always very fun to see that process.
Do you think that there's a Food Network show that you could be a competitor on and win?
Might want to try Chop, right?
Yeah, I think so. Is there like a Food Network personality out there that you would want to be besties with, like Bobby Flay, or is there somebody else that you think you would get along with really well?
I think him, he's the first one I was watching, and his English is easy to understand.
I love that. So Bobby Flay helped you learn English and also, exposed you to some of the Western cooking as well.
Western cooking, yes. Because he cooks so different from me. I wonder if he can make my meatballs.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Maybe Beat Bobby Flay would be a good one as well. You go on there with your signature meatball recipe for sure.
Yes.
Well, this has been so much fun. We are going to finish off with a few rapid fire questions for you. And then we have one final question that we ask all of our guests here on Food Network Obsessed.
Yes. Okay.
Favorite Lay's flavor?
Oh, you know what? Recently I got a Lay's flavor you probably never had. Hot pot.
No, I have not had that.
Yeah, it's only available in Asian market. I even made a video about the Lay's flavor in one video. I thought I got five, six flavors I was eating with my kids, testing out. I really like the hot pot one and the spicy peppercorn in there. Tastes really good. And beer flavor. Have you tried beer flavor?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Beer
flavor.
There's a whole world of Lay's potato chips that I have not tried.
Yeah.
What about the hot pot flavor? Like, did it actually, you know, kind of have some of those signature flavors of a hot pot?
Yeah, spicy. And I actually can taste the shrimp popcorn. There are lumming, tingling there. I really love. Yeah.
Wow. Best way to scramble an egg?
Chopsticks, of course. Scramble the egg with chopsticks is the best. The chopsticks is the best too. I use 90% of the time for my cooking a lot. Yeah.
Chinese tradition that you love sharing with your family?
Chinese tradition is... I make a big meal and Chinese New Year.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
What's your advice for when a recipe fails?
When the recipe fails, but I think the food still, when a recipe fails, I still eat the food. Because it tastes probably good in a different way. I still tell my kids to eat it, even if it doesn't look good.
Favorite sweet treat?
Huh. Sweet treat, you know, growing up, I had a lot of Asian stuff. So I still like Chinese mooncake.
Okay.
Something made of beans. My husband, and his favorite treat is chocolate. So he doesn't think beans are desserts. So the sweet bean paste, you know.
Most used word in the kitchen?
Most word used in kitchen? Probably in Chinese, but I can translate. I say.
Okay.
吃饭了. So that means I'm screaming my kids to come have dinner. Dinner's ready. Dinner's ready.
Dinner's ready. Yeah. Your favorite TikTok follow?
My favorite TikTok follow? There's just so many. Since I cook Chinese food, there is a creator. He cooks a lot of meat. And it's Western cooking a steak. I always want to learn the technique, how to cook a good steak. So his handle is Max the Meat Guy. So I watch a lot of these. Yeah, you know him, yeah.
I know him, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Kitchen tool you could never part with?
Kitchen tool, of course, my wok.
Yes,
yeah,
of
always.
Course.
Yeah, my wok.
All right, so our final question, and this is what we ask everybody at the end of our interviews, and that is, what would be on the menu for your perfect food day? So we want to hear... what you're eating for breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. There are no rules. So you can travel, you can time travel. Anyone can cook these meals for you. You can cook them whatever you want. We just want to hear what your ideal menu is for a perfect food day.
Perfect food day. Most of them on the menu probably be my favorite Chinese food. And in the morning, I will want a bowl of congee with some steamed buns. Lunchtime, it'll be a bowl of spicy noodles. And dinner time always come with like three dishes plus a soup. Three dishes, so it could be, you know, stir-fried meat with some vegetable, and there's maybe a cold dish. Also, yeah, usually another vegetable dish. Always a soup, of course, always a soup. And growing up, I wasn't even allowed to drink water on the table. My grandma said, "Don't eat drinking water. There's soup. Drink soup." So we eat Chinese meal. There's no drink. We just eat rice, all the dishes, and soup. That's why I drink soup. Yeah. And for dessert part, no dessert.
No dessert. Not even a mooncake?
Usually mooncake, I only have a mooncake. I'm just saying growing up, no dessert. But here, I wouldn't like dessert because here are so many options of Western dessert. yeah, have a piece of cake or I like creme brulee. That would be my perfect meal. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Topping it off with some creme brulee.
Creme brulee, yeah.
Well, it's been so much fun getting to know you and hearing your story. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Jamie. It was so fun talking with you.
Such a lovely conversation with Vivian, and you can catch her episode of TikTok Challenge now on foodnetwork.com. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.